interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk TNT.
Here we go. State of the Nation, Hour 2. I'm Brian McClain out of Central Texas. I'm here with Timothy Shea out of New York. Timothy, that first hour was a banger. If you missed it, you're definitely going to want to go to the website, look up the episodes in the main link there. I love the episodes link, Timothy.
It's great. It's great. And, I sometimes go back and watch because people don't understand, Hesh, how quickly the show goes by. And I oftentimes after the show go back and just rewatch so I can get more of the information that our guests are giving us.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's interesting when you're in the middle of it and you're, engaged and it's live and all that. And when you watch it back, you learn even more things because when you're in the heat of it, you're always trying to think a couple steps ahead and take in what your guest is saying. It's really fun. You know, we're very lucky to do what we do. And I want to thank TNT and you and our producer and everybody in the control room for everything that they do. Everybody at TNT, it's an amazing team. Timothy, let's talk about this one for a second. Millions of Americans might lose internet access today. Oh, say it isn't so. According to Wired, here's what you need to know. Today marks the end of the Affordable Connectivity Program, a landmark piece of U.S. government legislation, that's globalese for stealing your money, that aimed to make it easier for people to afford an internet connection in their homes. Now, in 2021, the U.S. Congress passed the $1.2 trillion Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which, we colloquially referred to as the bipartisan infrastructure deal. Well, massive, ambitious piece of legislation, and it set aside $14.2 billion to fund credits that could help low-income households afford internet. How'd that work out for you? Are we stoked? Is everybody happy? We spent $14.2 billion. Is that money well spent? How's everybody feel?
You know, Brian, really, what's $14.2 billion as compared to being able to see cute cat TikToks and on OnlyFans e-hoes, priorities, man.
Right. Internet's important. If you're going to live through a lockdown and an apocalypse, which global government handed us in 2020 and 2021, if you're going to live through eugenics or maybe try the eugenics products out, it's good to have streaming services paid for by the same government that paid for those jabs that might end up killing you, isn't it?
I actually am very grateful for the internet, though, because the internet achieved a lot during the lockdowns. Number one, it gave Dad an opportunity to see what was going on in Johnny and Janie's classroom. And Dad said, hell no, and the number of homeschooled students skyrocketed. It gave us patriots an opportunity to talk and to each other and share information. And it also gave the jackbooted thug fascists that run the internet the opportunity to censor us. And people saw, case in point, me getting 31 30-day bans off of Facebook, including October, November in 2018, 20, and 22. All of those expired the day after Election Day in those years. All you have to do is give them enough rope and they will definitely hang themselves. Give them an opportunity and people will show you who they are. And these fascists that want to censor us, Hesh, they showed us who they are in spades. So we can thank the internet for all of that awareness.
True that, true that. Now let me roll through three quick headlines and then we'll bring in our friend. He might have a comment on some of these, but quickly here, Democrats lose big time after appeals court denies request to reconsider whether date requirement for mail-in ballots is enforceable in Pennsylvania. Big thumbs up there. Glad to hear that one. This is interesting. You can't make this up. Emergency slide falls off of a Boeing plane discovered outside home of a lawyer whose firm is suing Boeing. I find that hilarious. And this was, you heard this during the top of the hour news break there, James O'Neill reporting that Trump-hating tyrannical judge gives President Trump permission to attend his son Barron's high school graduation after all the kerfuffle about that, Timothy.
Yeah, that Pennsylvania decision is going to be a big one for this fall. The emergency slide falling into the yard of the lawyer that's suing Boeing. Yeah, I mean, that just shows that God has a sense of humor, right? Because you can't make that up. And lastly, what that shows, Donald Trump being able to go to Barron's high school graduation, which is a great decision by the judge. We got to give him credit for that. But it just shows the power, again, of the internet, because it was the outrage that people expressed online that no doubt induced the judge to do the right thing.
There you go. Absolutely agreed. So I was glad to see that too. Hey, why not give TNT a follow? We're on all the major social platforms. You can find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, Gab, Gitter, YouTube. We're on all the video streaming platforms as well, podcast streaming platforms, and we're live 24/7. So help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk, TNT.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, we're joined by GOP political strategist and insider and our friend, the host of the Grassroots Truthcast, Gene Valentino. Welcome to State of the Nation. How are you doing today, man?
Well, I just love your show today, gentlemen. Holy schmoly, you had Rick Munn giving us a British, European view, and then Randy Sutton nailed it. Soros, he's the one undermining the fabric of this nation. And that warrior mindset he talked about, I think, is spot on. All the issues that we can talk about in the next few minutes center around the perpetration of illegal takeover of this nation by a criminal, a Jew, George Soros, who certainly isn't acting like one, in funding these insurrections. Oh my, dare I use that word? These attacks on now over 20 universities around the nation. Just got word that there's 36,000 students at Columbia University in New York. But here's the surprise. 14,000 of them are foreigners here on visas. Now, how many of those people do you think were part of these insurrections, illegal activities just in Columbia University alone? And why is it so orchestrated across all of these universities and colleges nationwide, as if it's being coordinated by a bigger group? Is there no small coincidence that this is going on nationwide? I think it's time, we've said it in the past, step up and step out. And as he said, it's time to get on that warrior mindset Randy Sutton suggested. I think we all need to protect this nation, because I'm not appreciating Congress doing it. Democrats are having a meltdown with Biden's poor poll ratings. I found something very interesting. Biden has made over 146 mistakes since the first of the year. Everything he talks about has been, I don't know how many days it's gone by. That means it's more than one mistake a day, if I'm doing my math correctly. But if the truth be known, it's more diversion, distraction, and deflection of your attention away from, and what's the hot item you guys just mentioned? Potential for early voting. We've got to do something. I'm being sarcastic. We have got to do something to eliminate this early voting, which is where most of the malfeasance was occurring in the past election. I think if we don't get a handle on some of the voting issues, and Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of the cabal are trying to take your attention away, it's not just about Biden's mental capacity anymore. It's about them distracting you to ensure that the next election goes the way they hoped it would. But the polls, as I said a minute ago, are showing that the Dems are having a meltdown. It's not going their way at all.
No, it's not. And I note with particularity with regard to your coordination comment that apparently, Gene, Dick's Sporting Goods, or maybe it was Walmart, or maybe it was REI, some manufacturer of outdoor gear apparently had a massive sale, because all these protesters at all these schools in all these different states have the same green tents. Isn't that fascinating?
Isn't that fascinating, guys? The same, well, it ties into what we were saying. This is an orchestrated effort that some of these folks mixing with the students are not from the college or university at all and are orchestrating it. When the reporters do ask for some comments from some of these Hamas supporters, anti-Israel supporters, these folks are directing the reporter to a spokesman. Is the spokesman a college student, or is it part of the George Soros-funded cabal that's being created? And you know, what are we going to do? How about taxing these universities now? Because the parents are pulling these kids out of the universities anyways and going to smaller quality educational programs. What are we going to do with a Republican Congress, God willing, that gets in there and mandates legislation to put the pinch for taxation on these universities and their billions of dollars of trust funds? And what are we going to do to ensure more Americans get a chance to go into that university? And not have their the average citizen in the United States not be forced to pay the increased taxes for Biden's continued forgiveness of loans on the students that are perpetrating these problems in the first place.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe we should have shut these universities down a long time ago. They're the ones that turned everybody into commies and radicals. You know, so I would argue that, you know, if I was some big donor, I would have started pulling out as soon as I saw them, you know, advocating gene jab mandates, as soon as I saw them advocating for shutting the school down, as soon as I saw them sending young women off with with a check or a voucher to get an abortion or to get her tops off or something like that. I mean, the transgressions of the writ large of the United States universities has just been absolutely horrible. And I agree with you. I've seen these same Soros style white buses, but I've also seen other white buses that are agitating on the other side. So I feel like we're all being sort of played against here, because you've got and some people are saying that you've got the ADL actually sending out similar white buses, and you know, people, and we saw the same thing at J6. We saw the same thing during the Trump years. It's like feds and NGOs have agitators on both sides, and that's really effective at whipping everybody up into, you know, looking only at the side that they're kind of biased towards. But it's scary to think that a place where you're paying all this money to send your kids to get a higher education, that there are government and non-governmental organizations running psyops, dangerous psyops on those kids. There's snipers out there, there's mass casualty units, there's AR-15s and tear gas. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in my time. I have to look back to before I was born to like Vietnam era to see something like this.
Yeah, well, we saw the same thing at the Vietnam War protests on campus. It was exactly the same. It was outside agitators. And Brian, you're 100% correct. That is how our government, the CIA, was able to run a color revolution in Ukraine in 2014 and instigate the Maidan massacre. The police thought that the protesters shot at the police. The protesters thought the police shot at the protesters. And it was a sniper up at a nest. And I think I know how they figured out where they could get one up there. It ended up in a bloodbath that changed the regime in Ukraine in 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. Mayor Adams just mentioned on national news for the New York City. Hey, mom and dad, make sure your son and daughter at the Columbia University are in safekeeping, because as if to warn the public that something's about to happen. Nothing's happened yet, but the college president that has done absolutely nothing. What a disappointment. She's turned around and trying to negotiate with these people. You know, I unconfirmed report from CBS News, and it's not confirmed. So I lead with that point. This is unconfirmed, that the Biden administration is considering a legal path for Palestinians coming into the United States to jumpstart the immigration process as legal citizens. This means that we'd be taking the Palestinians in the Gaza region who were refused access into Egypt to the south and Iran to the north are now being considered as potential refugees and a pathway for citizenship here in the United States. Now, if that has any truth to it, this is an absolute overtaking of our nation, complementing the confusion Soros is stirring, to your point, Timothy, where they're, and Brian, with agitation on both sides of the issue to stir the pot. It was a Kent State Haight-Ashbury issue from earlier days where the issue became blurred by both sides of the fence, bringing up issues that got buried in minutia and were not working when they were not working towards the greater good. All of a sudden, their rights weren't the issue. They were espousing causes that got blurred that were always in our Constitution for protection against all, for all of us anyway. Just amazing. Keep your eye on it. And if I may, something just came to my mind a little while ago. You may have remembered a conversation we had months back about Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. And I kind of said, well, boy, I wish the two of them could figure out a path to working it out together. I don't know. They were pretty vicious against each other in the primaries up till when DeSantis backed out and came back to Florida. But I must tell you, there's a pathway here I see now where Ron DeSantis could be the VP choice by Donald Trump. Just a guess on my part, but you heard it here first. I never thought it was going to happen months ago, especially when Nikki Haley was in there stirring the pot. But I see a pathway now for Ron DeSantis being a pick for Donald Trump as VP. And it might be a good perpetuation of a presidency with the policies of the Trump administration for 8 years beyond Trump's second term.
All right. Wow. Okay. You heard it here first on State of the Nation from Gene Valentino, who can be found at GeneValentino.com. And of course, check out the Grassroots Truth Cast. We recommend it. Gene, we'll look forward to having you back on again real soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks again.
Absolutely. This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Kate Shimarani.
You have to be very, very careful with pregnant women when giving them drugs, or women that are breastfeeding, because those drugs will be carried in the breast milk. So why are biological men being given drugs to produce milk, breast milk, that's being fed to the babies in the premature baby unit, SCABU? And they've actually said it's as good as women's milk. I don't see how that is possible, because those drugs that will stimulate the pituitary and everything else that this man is taking are going to be in that breast milk. What could possibly go wrong?
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT. Today's News Talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
This is a great time to be interested in politics. And joining us now to discuss is Republican strategist, RNC delegate, and 2020 manager of Students for Trump in the state of Michigan, Sam Ditzazy. Sam, welcome to State of the Nation.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. It's always great to be here. One of the few shows that are actually letting people tell the real news how it is. So I'm always happy to join you.
Well, it's a privilege for us to be able to bring this show to people. And I saw an interesting headline today that it's too late at this point for Joe Biden to recapture a key demographic. And I clicked on it. And I was like, is this demographic the one I hope it is? And it was. It's the young vote. What are you hearing from people in your age group, from college on up and through their mid-30s, with regard to support for Joe Biden? What do they think of the economy? What are they, is dislike for Biden, does that necessarily translate into interest in Donald Trump? Or are they thinking more along the lines of a Bobby Kennedy Jr. vote? What are you seeing in your age group?
I think a lot of those people are leaning towards that Bobby Kennedy vote. Especially even, you know, younger Democrats that I know and I talk to, no one is happy with Joe Biden. No one feels like he's doing a great job. They might, you know, like their traditional Democrat values, but I don't think even, you know, their core of their base feel like they're being served by this president. And when it comes time in 2024 and election rolls around, I don't think Biden is going to have the same youth support that he did back in 2020. They ran a shadow campaign then, and they were able to fool a lot of younger people about what his presidency would look like. But now they've seen what it actually looks like and what the reality of it is. And there's no mistaking it. It's a failed presidency. And I know most of the people my age, they are very turned off by what they're seeing, and they're looking for other options, whether that's Donald Trump or Robert Kennedy. I just know it's not going to be Joe Biden. It's not going to be the one that they support.
Have we ever seen anything like this before, you guys, where it's like usually one group of people is unhappy about who the president is, but it really feels like in this nation right now that like there's this very tiny group that are happy with the administration, and I can't find them anywhere. I hear they're out there, but I'm just not finding them. I mean, it's pretty, I don't know. Am I overstating that, Sam, or is it really kind of noteworthy that like the entirety of at least, you know, voters under 50 at this point, Democrat voters do not like Biden?
No. And you're seeing it through the campaign's moves too. They're having to pay all these young influencers to act like they're excited about the campaign, to act like they're
only
excited
fan
about
stars. They gave money, yes, to an OnlyFans star. Can you believe that?
Yeah. And actually it's sad, but I actually can't believe that, because that's how desperate they've gotten, you know. And meanwhile, on the right, you know, I'm on TikTok, you know, I make a lot of videos. I don't get paid by the Trump campaign to do it. I don't get paid by anyone to do it. I do it because, you know, I believe in our message, and I believe what, you know, our party's putting out. And the Democrats, you know, they have to pay young people thousands of dollars to smile and say that everything is working and Bidenomics is great, when the reality that we're all living, we can all tell it's not the truth.
Yeah, I had a website a few years ago before I ended up getting banned off of all platforms. And Elon, I'd still love to get back at TimboTim62 and MAGA_Institute. And when we monetized the website, I think 1 month we made, I think we almost got to $100, but not quite. So yeah, there's monetization and then there's monetization. And I think what the Democrats would say, Sam, is that, well, you got to go where the voters are, and the voters are on OnlyFans these days. And unfortunately, I think they're not wrong, but it's just so unseemly. Is there any low to which Democrats will not stoop for a vote?
I don't think so. And what's really gotten me concerned about what they're doing with a lot of these influencers is they're skirting around a lot of the election laws and how there's supposed to be transparency. Every time, you know, you see a campaign ad, there's that tag at the bottom of who paid for it, you know, what organization was behind it. Now they're, you know, paying these influencers cash through, you know, their agents or their talent managers. They're getting paid thousands of dollars through there, and it's not showing up that, you know, they're getting paid or that these are paid promotions for the Democratic Party or for their candidates. And so they're really, it's one of those areas where legislation hasn't exactly caught up yet to where they can be held accountable, but they're riding that line as fine as they can ride it. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for them. I know conservatives were doing a lot better on social media this time around. I see a lot of candidates, even on our side, who have, President Trump specifically, have came out against the TikTok ban and are really supporting, you know, having more options for people to communicate online. But yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, they're telling those influencers that you don't have to say it's a paid ad because there's no product. What a laugh. Yeah. The product is a decrepit old guy who's completely falling apart and being abused, you know, someone who should be enjoying retirement. The product is globalism. The product is propaganda. The product is, you know, you and me. And yep. So it's just amazing that they're trying to say, you know, oh, there's no product here, so you can just, you know, pretend like, you know, you just love Joe Biden and Bidenomics.
Hey, you love Joe Biden and you're just getting a bag of money handed to you under the table. So everything works out fine.
Right.
Yeah, and there's even something more insidious going on that I want to get to after these headlines right here on today's News Talk, TNT.
Time to read some news.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is successfully qualified for the California presidential ballot with a nomination from the American Independent Party. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen stated that the EU has not dismissed the possibility of banning the Chinese-owned video platform TikTok, citing security concerns. The judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money trial, Judge Juan Merchan, has permitted Trump to attend his son Barron's high school graduation on May 17th.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Sam, one of the things I saw today really concerned me. It was a voter registration form that a refugee had been given by a government entity in South Carolina. And the original poster on X thought that it had come from the Social Security Administration, and it hadn't. The refugee had been to one of these fairs where they got a variety of services from a variety of different agencies. And it turns out that the agency was the government of South Carolina. So South Carolina is giving voter registration forms to refugees, people that are not legally required to vote. And of course, no voter ID required, no signature verification. One of the ways that they've been able to steal is with mail-in voting. And it, again, it's a two-edged sword. We say show up on election day. It's like, well, if you show up on election day only, it's a lot easier for them to screw with the machines as they did out in Phoenix, right? It was only the Republican districts that were having problems with the machines on election day in 2020. But we've got to go where the votes are and get involved. We don't like it. We want one day voting. We want photo ID. We want the whole thing. But until we get there, we've got to play the game. And unfortunately, the game is largely mail-in balloting, early balloting, but we have state governments that are actively working to throw this election for Democrats.
Oh, yeah. And we're seeing that across the board. They're doing it in pretty much every state. They're trying to change the election laws to benefit them and their candidates. And, you know, it's really not a surprise at this point that they're doing it because, you know, they got away with it in 2020. But even aside from that, you know, I think Republicans are doing a really good job of adapting and learning from what happened in 2020, that we can't treat absentee ballots like they're the boogeyman. You know, they obviously have their issues, but, you know, this is the system that we have now. And until we, you know, get majorities back and are able to introduce legislation to fix it, we have to play with the system that we have. And I think we've made a lot of strides in doing that. But going forward, we just got to be better at the game than the Democrats are. And I think by kind of doubling down and focusing on groups that, you know, normally don't turn out or have a lower turnout. Cause that's one thing that I found pretty concerning is, you know, Republicans, we are absolutely fired up right now, but even in our recent midterms, a lot of us still didn't turn out and vote. There are many states where if every registered Republican had showed up and voted, it would have been a landslide for us, but they stayed home. We even seeing, you know, among Christians, only about 8% of Christians voted in the last election. And if we came out and actually voted our values, there would be no Democrat majorities. There would be no President Biden. So I think we need to take advantage of this opportunity and say, hey, you got some states are a week of early voting. Some states like mine in Michigan, it's now pretty much election month. So there's no excuse not to get your ballot in. Every vote counts, and we got to take advantage of these opportunities that we have.
Well, if you want to reach out to people that have hearts and souls, maybe we could talk about the new report in the Huffington Post that charges that Michigan Democratic gubernatorial candidate Sheree Flanders, a former pharmaceutical company, abandoned 173 dogs and monkeys in its facility after they went bankrupt in 2010. That one pulls at the heartstrings no matter what your political lean is, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah. That was Congressman Sri Tanadar. He ran for governor in 2018 against Gretchen Whitmer. He was, it's kind of funny looking back at it now, but he was her biggest opponent in the primary. He was her biggest challenger. And, you know, he didn't make it through then, but he re-ran in 2022 for Congress and he made it. And it's just one of those stories that got kind of swept under the rug. You know, we're seeing everyone talk about, you know, the verse in Kristi Noem's book about, you know, what happened with a puppy on her farm. And, you know, that makes pretty much every Republican, according to the media and Democrats now, we're all dog killers. But you have an elected member of Congress who is sitting in there right now who he had a situation so bad that the Humane Society had to make ads against him when he ran for governor. And he, like you said, left over 115 dogs to die in a testing facility after, you know, they had spent their whole lives in cages being tested on and, you know, used for his profits. And when the business went up, he just said, we're just going to close the doors and we're going to leave the dogs in there to die. And people actually had to break into his facility and rescue those animals. And, you know, Democrat, Republican, I don't care who you are. I judge people a lot based on how they treat animals. And if that's what he's willing to do to them, I can't convince me that he has the best interest in Michigan at heart.
Yeah, that's always the first sign of a psychopath is a child that pulls the wings off of flies or the legs off of frogs, right? So you're exactly correct.
And the fact that the media hasn't covered it, and that's just funny because it kind of got a little bit more attention recently. I made a post about it on TikTok and Twitter, and it got some traction. But, you know, obviously the mainstream news didn't pick it up. They kind of ignored it. And now Kristi Noem, we're all seeing this has been a few days now where she's gotten all the national attention over a story from her book about something that happened on a farm when she was a kid. But we have a sitting member of Congress who has a horrible history of animal abuse, and he gets no questions from the media about it.
And this guy's
Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry, Timothy. This guy's a millionaire, right? Like, we're to believe that he couldn't break off. I don't know what you do in that situation. Probably, you know, maybe try to save whatever you can, or just euthanize them all because they've lived a life of, you know, an experiment, a lab rat, basically. Yep. Might be the most humane thing to do, but to just leave them there when you're, you know, they say he's a self-made millionaire. But wow, just cruelty.
Yeah, I think Sri, he's actually, I want to say he's the richest member of Congress right now.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No. Meanwhile, the 2010 Romney campaign is just shaking its head, right? Because remember,
I remember the dog on the roof. That was
yeah.
The end
Mitt
of the
got
world
chastised
right
for that, and you know, I'm here in New York State. And New York and Michigan are probably more alike than any two other states in the union, largely rural, largely conservative, dominated by big cities with large Democrat populations. The map of Michigan looks much like the map of New York after a presidential election. The entire state voted Republican except for the cities, and it's the cities that carried the day. And now there's even a parallel between your governor in Michigan and mine here in New York. It's, you know, usually you have one good twin and one evil twin. These are the two evil twins, right? I call them the Wicked Witch of the East and the Wicked Witch of the West, Gretchen Whitmer and Kathy Hochul Hochul here, horrible Hochul. Are either of these women a possibility for the Democratic vice presidential nomination? Because Joe Biden has made no indication whatsoever that it's going to be Kamala. In fact, there have been several trial balloons in the guise of polls showing her unpopularity that Kamala might not be on the ticket come July.
Yeah, that one surprised me. And I think definitely looking at Governor Whitmer, as you said, looking at her actions recently, it definitely seems like she's getting ready to lay the groundwork for something bigger. She has a book deal that she just announced, and it's coming out here in the summer just ahead of the Democrat convention. And she's been going, you know, overseas to do getting business trips and, you know, trying to incentivize investment in Michigan, basically just using taxpayer money as a photo op to go on vacation and take pictures overseas, acting like she's doing business for the state. But yeah, she's been doing that stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some shenanigans at the Democrat convention. And
And hey, she's already burnished. Yeah, she's already burnished her Fedsurrection bona fides, right? With that phony kidnap attempt.
Yeah. Yeah, the kidnap attempt where, you know, the majority of the kidnappers were FBI agents. Can never forget that one. I think she's definitely heading in that direction. If anything, at the DNC, I wouldn't be surprised still if we have a Newsom Whitmer ticket. I would not be surprised by that at this point, because I think especially in Michigan, with how poorly President Biden is doing with the Muslim community here now, given everything going on in Palestine, it is definitely not the state that he won in 2020, and he does not have that support that he did before.
Sam Ditsazy, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your insight. I can't wait to have you back to talk more Michigan and more youth vote. I think you're right. Michigan isn't the state that Joe Biden allegedly took in 2020. It remains to be seen whether it can go into the Trump column come this November. There's going to be more State of the Nation right after these words from today's News Talk, TNT.
My baby's back from the West Coast.
Hear those pictures that you asked for your school project? First day of school, cute as a button.
So long ago.
Oh, here's Grandma Florence after that flood wiped out the whole neighborhood.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Ah, those beans smell heavenly.
Give Mama a little credit.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
Oh, that's a great idea.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
I'm coming to share with you guys.
Protect your legacy. Plan for natural disasters today. Visit ready.gov/plan.
On a virtual road, you can test the limits of your driving ability to see how fast you can go under the most extreme conditions, like when it's dark, when the weather's bad, or when the unexpected happens. The higher the speed, the harder the impact. But driving isn't a game or a race. When you're on the road, just 10 miles per hour over the limit can mean the difference between life and death. You're responsible for people's lives and your own. Slow down and save lives.
Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk, TNT.
So, the dreaded Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are investigating two seemingly separate outbreaks of norovirus linked to U.S. cruise ships. And joining us now is board-certified trauma specialist, our friend Dr. Kelly Victory. Dr. Victory, welcome back to State of the Nation. So, are you want to go on any cruise liners anytime soon?
Well, thanks as always for having me. Unfortunately, norovirus outbreaks are not uncommon on cruise ships. It's one of the scourges of anyone who's been on a cruise ship, and it causes rampant diarrhea and vomiting amongst passengers. Not infrequently can bring a large percentage of the participants or passengers on a cruise to the infirmary. It's interesting because given how common this is, you certainly would think that those people interested in making vaccines every 15 minutes would have created a vaccine for the norovirus. But it turns out that vaccine manufacture and vaccinology is very complex business. And it just goes to show you that it's not as easy to make a vaccine for a virus as they would like you to believe.
But it is easy to mandate, Kelly. We reported yesterday that all of the data that have come out since 2022 confirm what we knew going into 2022. And that is that the jabs were neither safe nor effective. A study out of Denmark showed that it had precisely zero efficacy in preventing death. And we've seen court cases, one at the High Court in the United Kingdom and another here in the United States, where the manufacturers were forced to admit that, yes, it did cause TTP, thrombosis with thrombocytopenia. And yes, it did cause the myopericarditis in the 29-year-old athlete, a runner, who ended up having a heart attack and died. So slowly but surely, the truth is coming out. And you're absolutely correct about the noroviruses. There is at least one cruise ship a year that ends up quarantined at Black Falcon Terminal down in South Boston because it goes out on one of these Caribbean cruises and comes back. And all you hear are these horrific stories of the heads being overflowing with not a good scenario when you've got an unlimited buffet.
Exactly. Just where you don't want to be when there's rampant nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea is on a closed cruise ship. The data are irrefutable with regard to the mRNA injections. They were never safe, and they certainly were never effective. They never tested them to see if they stopped transmission, and lo and behold, they don't. Now we know from multiple studies, including a very large one out of the Cleveland Clinic, more than 50,000 people, that actually the more vaccinated you are for COVID, the more shots you've gotten, the more likely you are to contract it. So it not only doesn't prevent it, it actually increases your risk of contracting COVID. And you rightly point out, there isn't a single study that shows that it decreases your risk of hospitalization or death. On top of that, we are now seeing what is probably the tip of the iceberg with regard to adverse events. It's not only cases of myocarditis, it's a huge increase in incidence of autoimmune issues, neurologic complications, and very concerningly, cancers. Cancers are up across the board in every country that used these injections widely, and they're up in groups of people in whom we normally don't see a lot of cancer, specifically the 18 to 49-year-old age group.
And Hatch, let me just close that off. I saw a study yesterday, Kelly, that came out and said, you know, typically people will say, well, correlation doesn't equal causation, right? They now have a mechanism of action. It turns out that the spike proteins can actually turn cancer cells on, that they are having a cancerogenic impact on cells to turn them cancerous. And that's why we've seen such aggressive cancers, which have been dubbed turbo cancers. The cancer doctors have not seen anything like this, both the rapidity and the aggressiveness of these tumors.
Absolutely. We have multiple mechanisms by which these shots can and are undoubtedly causing cancers. There's an effect on the immune system overall that immunosuppresses people so that your immune system is your first line of defense against cancers. And if you're immunosuppressed, your immune system simply doesn't react to the abnormal prostate cell or the abnormal breast cell the way that it normally would. We also know that the mRNA interacts with or impacts the DNA's ability to repair cells, to repair things. Normally, that is a process DNA is able to be repaired. It can't do this once you've gotten multiple shots. So there are multiple mechanisms of action. On top of that, the lipid nanoparticles themselves are highly carcinogenic. And unfortunately, we know, and the vaccine manufacturers knew well before the vaccines were launched, based on their own biodistribution data, that a huge percentage, 11% of the mRNA concentrates in the reproductive organs, specifically the ovaries and the testes. So talk about just really tragic impact from these shots, in addition to being completely ineffective in stopping the spread of COVID and stopping the severity of COVID, we're having all of these horrific side effects.
Yeah, and here's the scariest part. Well, the scariest part is that we apparently live in an upside down inversion where everything that the public was told turned out to be quite the opposite. And no matter who raised their hand and said, hey, this is upside down talk, this is Orwellian, they were stamped down to include everybody in this call and so many more people around the world, you know, not just here in America. That is very scary. But what is scarier, even looking forward, if you follow James Roguski's Substack or maybe Mark Anderson reporting here on State of the Nation, they're talking about the WHO pandemic accord and how they're pushing that through. They want to push that through this year. And our good friend Mark, who is an independent journalist, he's been going to the they have these public Zoom calls, basically, where they let journalists ask questions about it and talk about it. And he's been tracking the language in this this so-called accord. And just this last week, it took a turn. And now they're saying, they're basically saying vaccines for everybody, vaccines for all. Yeah. Nobody's going to get out of it. And this is an international, you know, agreement, treaty. It's a little gray how it's actually going to be treated. But the fact that they will not listen to any of the facts that we're talking about that you're bringing us here, or look at the yellow card data or the VAERS data, has a lot of Americans very concerned, and not to mention just that it strips a country of their sovereignty if it rolls out the way that they want it.
Well, I fear that this is a fait accompli. We will participate in this because Joe Biden is going to sign it at the end of May, undoubtedly. As you said, it's really very worrisome. It fundamentally abdicates control or cedes control of our own constitution over to the WHO in the time of a public health crisis. It's not just a pandemic. It's a public health crisis or emergency by the definition of the WHO. They may decide that climate change is a public health crisis. They could decide that gun violence is a public health crisis. And then we are obligated, participating nations are then obligated to abide by whatever the WHO says you need to do about that public health crisis. So obviously, in the case of a pandemic, it may be vaccines for all, or limited travel, or you can't go to school, or God knows what. If they decide it's climate change, they can decide, okay, you need to turn in your gas car, you know, your gun, whatever it is. So this is really, really unwise. I think several states are already talking about putting legislation in at the state level, saying they will not abide by this. They will not comply, that this is a state's issue, not a federal issue. And so regardless of what Biden chooses to do, that they're saying at the state level, they will not comply with this. So I'm certainly hoping that more states do that. To be very clear, the WHO has nothing to do with public health. They are the long arm of the Chinese Communist Party. Dr. Tedros, who's not actually a medical doctor, who heads the WHO, was handpicked by the Chinese Communist Party to run that. He has long ties with terrorist organizations. He's a bad actor overall, and he certainly isn't looking out for the health and welfare of Americans when they write these treaties. This is a power grab, and it's all about control, nothing to do with health.
Yeah, and we know that the CDC will play along with this, because the CDC already has climate emergency and gun violence in their little ecosystem, their little pseudo intellectual ecosystem about what human health is all about. And they want to include those things in there, and we're still seeing rumblings. I think the larger population who woke up to what's going on with the whole COVID scam and the mRNA shots, they get it now. It took a couple years, I think. There's a bit of a groundswell, but I see a lot of people now saying, hey, wait a minute, this climate thing is a scam, which is actually one of the silver linings of COVID, because a lot of those people probably didn't think the climate thing was a scam until they saw the way the COVID scam worked out. And then they see the rumblings of, like you're saying, a climate emergency or a gun violence emergency, which, by the way, they would never call for any standard weekend in Chicago when 63 people gun each other down, teenagers that have illegal firearms. They don't talk about that. That's never going to be an emergency. So it's all just such a propagandic mess.
And by the way, speaking of the CDC, I'm thrilled to hear that they're investigating a couple of cruise ships with norovirus. Maybe they could spend a little bit of time and resource looking into the tens of thousands of VAERS reports of ill effect or deaths from these COVID shots. They have been absolutely remiss. They have completely, fallen away from their mandate, their job is to investigate these sorts of things. They have not looked into them at all. They're always ready to say, oh, these are not verified, or just because somebody reports something to VAERS, that doesn't mean that this is a result of the vaccine. Yet they are not looking into these cases. We have eclipsed the number of adverse events reported that have been claimed to be associated with these mRNA shots is more than all of the other vaccines combined over a period of more than 25 years. There is no question. You rightly point out, you know, we'll go back to the refrain, you know, correlation or you know, association does not mean causation. Yes, that's true. But the reality is it's the CDC's job to investigate these things. So it makes busy work and looks like it's doing something, looking at a couple of cruise ships with norovirus outbreaks, when instead it's turning a blind eye to the tens of thousands of VAERS reports and the millions of reports of adverse events.
Absolutely. And they say that, you know, gun violence and climate change can be health crises. Meanwhile, FDA is violating its mandate by allowing us to ripen our wheat using glyphosate. So right. It's not that food is genetically engineered. It's that it's genetically engineered to survive glyphosate so that they can ripen the wheat crop with Roundup. And also every single sample of beef, pork, chicken, and fish that was analyzed by microscope found microplastics in it. How did that happen? FDA hasn't bothered to look. How about the impact on young men and women's hormonal system? We've got girls that are going through puberty at 8. We've got young boys with 1/3 the sperm count as their fathers had at the same age. We've got boys developing breasts. It's a mess. What impact has the use of soy in all the processed foods, of seed oils? How about high fructose corn syrup? None of these seem to be health crises, Kelly. Again, this is completely upside down.
Well, there's a multi-pronged assault on society right now. There's the climate agenda. There's the assault on farmers. They're about to cull millions of poultry birds and likely cattle because of this H5N1 outbreak. There's the whole transgender issue. There's the control that happened during the pandemics. There's all of these things. There's the immigration issues and the open border. Every single one of these things that are happening simultaneously has to do with weakening society, cutting down, really, you know, weakening our ability to be resilient, weakening our associations with community, weakening our ability to stand up against our government. We have fractionated society, and every single one of these things, it is not just sort of coincidence that they are all happening, that they're all being done at the same time. The elites know exactly what they are doing. They are weakening us, and every single day that we buy into this stuff, that we allow them to get away with this, that we give up and we cede one more little human right, one more little bit of our ability to coalesce together against the government, we are weaker and less resilient.
Amen. Technocratic hybrid warfare seems to be the name of the game. It seems to be what we're up against, and it's awe-inspiring. It's impressive to see how everything has been made political. Every single little tiny thing, every group, subgenre, all just fractured into these little tribes. And it's really interesting. Over the years, you watch them split, you watch them come together, you watch new stimulus be put in, and then they split again. I mean, we're talking about such a small number of people. When you look at the global population and you look at those, you know, for lack of a better word, elites, ghouls, whatever, who orchestrate this, it's such a small number. And their goals are not our goals whatsoever. But that fracturization seems to be, that hybrid warfare seems to be what keeps the ball, you know, going for them.
Absolutely. Go back to the WHO for a minute. The WHO's motto is one world, one health. Now think about that. I don't know you guys you personally. I'm with you a lot on the show. I like you a lot, but I'm here to tell you, we don't have the same health. My health is different than your health. I have an individual sovereignty over my body. I have personal autonomy. Autonomy is the first of the four pillars of healthcare, of medicine. You know, autonomy, beneficence, non-malevolence, and justice are the pillars of medical ethics. Autonomy, my health is not your health. And yet the World Health Organization's motto is one world, one health. So their intention is to absolutely do away with informed consent, do away with autonomy, and to totally change the way we operate as a society.
Yes, it is. And we're not down with it. We're not down with it here, Dr. Kelly, Timothy, myself. We're not down with it. We know you're not down with it, but we do know you're down to hang with TNT. So please continue to do so. The Jason Burmish Show is coming up next. Dr. Kelly Victory, thank you so much for joining us. You got about 20 seconds for any final thoughts.
Well, thanks very much for having me. And all I can tell people is be ready for this bird flu scare and don't fall for it again this time.
All right. What more could be said? We'll leave on that. Dr. Kelly Victory, thank you again. Timothy Shea, thank you so much. Great show. Our team at TNT, thank you. And thank you for watching. Stay tuned for Jason Burmish. We're out of here. This is TNT.